Coming up on KUCB News, responders keep the FV Akitan afloat in Captain's Bay, and Walker and Malott are running for re-election.
Local News is sponsored by Alpha Welding and Boat Repair Incorporated, providing boat repairs and conversions in Unalaska Dutch Harbor for the last 25 years. Our professionals are trained to use heavy-duty equipment, including boom trucks, shears, brakes, a water jet cutting machine, and a punch machine. Our fully equipped metal fabrication welding shop and machine shop are located at 1149 East Broadway. Alpha Welding and Boat Repair can be reached at 581-1785 or 581-2666.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM Unalaska. I'm Barrett Wilbur with some local news on Tuesday, August 22nd, 2017. Cleveland volcano erupted for 1 minute this morning around 10:45 a.m. No ash cloud was detected, according to scientists at the Alaska Volcano Observatory. Cleveland is not monitored as closely as other volcanoes in the Aleutian chain, such as Bogusław. Scientists say their limited ability to measure vibrations in the Earth's crust near Cleveland makes it harder to predict eruptions. After a failed season, the fishing vessel Akitan was declared an economic disaster by its captain. Now, a response team of local, state, and federal officials is trying to make sure it doesn't become an environmental disaster as well. The Akitan is no longer in immediate danger of sinking. That's according to officials with the U.S. Coast Guard, which organized a slew of agencies to stabilize the listing vessel and remove pollutants over the weekend. Petty Officer Meredith Manning says the Unified Command came together to stop the boat from spilling fuel, oil, and other chemicals into Unalaska's Captain's Bay.
They were just worried about with the condition of the vessel and how much stuff was on the vessel that it had the potential to sink. So removing that product improved the stability of the vessel and was able to correct some of that listing.
About 8,000 gallons of polluted liquid have been removed so far, but no one's sure how much is left on the vessel. The Akitan can carry as much as 30,000 gallons of fuel, but it wasn't full when it arrived in Dutch Harbor for repairs, following a disastrous salmon season in Bristol Bay. Until all pollutants are removed, responders won't be able to assess the Akitan's seaworthiness or make any long-term plans for the vessel. It's unclear if owners will take responsibility for it. On top of that, the boat's electrical system also failed this weekend, resulting in a toxic buildup of ammonia gas from the refrigeration unit. Jeff Merrill of the Alaska Department of Conservation says responders repaired the system, reduced gas to a safe level, and restarted refrigeration. Besides problems posed by toxic gas, Merrill says keeping the freezers online is important to head off another issue. The Akitan is still carrying 130,000 pounds of frozen Bristol Bay sockeye. For now, though, he says the fish are fine.
Yes, we did have an ammonia refrigeration system leak, and the reports I have is the fish have and continue to remain frozen. So from our perspective, there has been no impact to the saleability of the fish, but who the fish is sold to and where is not within my purview.
Although Unalaska is the most productive fishing port in the nation, none of its three seafood plants process or sell salmon. While there are no answers yet about the Akitan's ultimate fate, the response work is encouraging, according to Unalaska's deputy port director, Scott Brown.
There is no end date. We're just kind of taking each step of the process as it goes. Certainly the crews and the people involved in the project so far have got the ship stabilized. From when it got here to where we are now, we're in a little bit more comfortable spot.
Environmental conservation officials say they are concerned about the risk the Akitan poses to seabirds and marine mammals, but there hasn't been any harm to the ecosystem yet. Responders are continuing to monitor the situation and remove pollutants. The only air carrier for the Pribilof Islands is asking for financial support to keep its markets afloat. Penn Air has requested the U.S. Department of Transportation subsidize flights to St. Paul and St. George Island, which are guaranteed essential air service. Spokesperson Missy Roberts says Penn Air wants to continue serving the Pribilofs, which it's done for almost 60 years. But she says the company needs help after filing for bankruptcy protection earlier this month. If the department does subsidize those routes, other airlines will be allowed to service them. Roberts says Penn Air hopes to win the contract with community support. While that process plays out, service to St. Paul and St. George will continue as usual. Customers can still book flights, and existing reservations will not be affected. The Onalaska City Council meets tonight. At their regular meeting, councilors are scheduled to discuss the city manager's contract in a closed-door executive session. Mayor Frank Kelty confirmed the council is not conducting a routine contract review after calling a special meeting on the same subject earlier this month. Both Kelty and city manager Dave Martinson have declined to comment further about what is happening. The city council meets tonight at 6 o'clock at City Hall. Governor Bill Walker registered yesterday as a candidate in next year's election for governor. He'll be joined again on an unaffiliated ticket by Lieutenant Governor Byron Mallott. Walker says being an independent helps him and Mallott work on issues without concern about party politics. It will also allow them to avoid a primary battle before a general election, which could include candidates for both major parties.
I think it'll be a lively race. I think there'll be lots of competition. Not so much for us, certainly in the primary, but in the general. So we'll see how that plays out, and we'll just continue to do our job and make Alaska a safer place and work on the fiscal situation and work on the future of the state as far as growing Alaska.
Walker says they'll point to their record, including expanding Medicaid coverage.
35,000 Alaskans have health care now that did not have health care. We are frequently stopped on the street by someone who says, thank you for the having health care. I did not have that before. Some had received life-saving operations since receiving the health care that they would not, or they were diagnosed with something early on, they would not have lived without that.
Mallott says they recently met with Democratic Party officials to thank them for their support 3 years ago and to let the party know they'd be running as independents. Mallott says he will keep his Democratic Party affiliation despite running an unaffiliated campaign. Mallott adds that Walker has worked to close the budget gap, grow the economy, and treat all Alaskans fairly.
I think Alaskans are going to look at what Governor Walker has accomplished in his first 4 years and say he did good.
The Walker and Mallott campaigns must each gather roughly 3,200 signatures to be placed on the ballot. While Congress has debated repealing the Affordable Care Act, some doctors want to make sure that at least parts of the law will remain in place in Alaska. They're sponsoring two initiatives that could be on the ballot next year. K2's Andrew Kitchenman reports.
One initiative would enshrine in state law the Medicaid expansion that Governor Bill Walker executed. The other initiative would include several other provisions of the Affordable Care Act in state law. Anchorage Dr. Graham Glass is one of the sponsors of the Medicaid expansion initiative. His neurology and sleep medicine practice has seen a difference from the expansion.
We see patients that otherwise we probably would have never seen, where we're able to do things such as treat their sleep apnea earlier on, before they have heart attacks and strokes and then end up being seen in the hospital as uninsured patients.
He notes that if Medicaid didn't cover those patients, the cost to provide emergency care to them would be shifted to patients with insurance. The Medicaid expansion has covered 35,000 more Alaskans. Another group nearly as large signed up for Medicaid or Denali Kid Care since the ACA went into effect. Glass says the political support for federal funding for the expansion means the state should be able to afford it.
The fact that we have a Republican president and Republican Congress, and they were still unable to pass that repeal in any way, shape, or form makes me fairly comfortable that moving forward in the next administrations for the years into the future, it's very unlikely that that federal money will go away.
The other initiative would require insurers to cover people with pre-existing conditions. It also would allow parents to cover their children until they turn 26, and it would require health plans to have 10 essential benefits, including mental health care and prescription drugs. Both initiatives are being reviewed by Lieutenant Governor Byron Mallott's office to ensure they're eligible to be placed on the ballot. For instance, they can't require the state to appropriate money. Andrea Nutty with the Alaska Nurses Association says the union's members will support gathering signatures for the petitions. She says it's important that the ACA protections remain in place.
With the current instability in Washington, D.C., it's vitally important to establish patient protections on a state level.
Some Alaskans, including U.S. Senator Dan Sullivan, have called for ACA mandates to be scaled back in order to make insurance more affordable. 2,200 Alaskans buy individual insurance or family insurance costing roughly $1,000 a month because they don't receive subsidies based on income. But another 14,000 Alaskans who are subsidized pay an average of less than $100 a month. Nutty says there are other ways to reduce the cost of health care, beginning with making prices more transparent to the public.
It's still vitally important that all of those essential health benefits are included in all insurance plans because you can't predict when life is going to throw you a curveball.
Malat has until early October to review the initiatives. If he approves them, the sponsors must gather 32,000 signatures to petition to place each initiative on the ballot. In Juneau, I'm Andrew Kitchenman.
And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Barrett Wilbur, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org, and please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.